Welcome to the Covenant Journey Podcast. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to deepen your faith, knowledge, and love of our Lord Jesus as we explore the timeless treasures of the Bible. Join us now as we explore God's Word.
Welcome to the Covenant Journey Bible Podcast. I'm Matt Staver, founder of Covenant Journey. On today's podcast, we're going to be talking about the Lord's Prayer. It's contained in Matthew chapter 6. There's much that has been written and spoken about the Lord's Prayer, and we all remember it because it's easy to remember in that poetic fashion in which it was delivered. However, there's so much behind the Lord's Prayer. We don't have time to even begin to scratch the surface, but let's dig into Matthew chapter 6. Before we even get to the Lord's Prayer, you have to understand that the entire chapter of Matthew 6 is about praying. The introduction before we get to the Lord's Prayer, and then the application of the Lord's Prayer after Jesus gives that model prayer to his disciples and thus to us. At the beginning, it says, "Don't be like the hypocrites, those religious people who want to have the show of prayer. They want to have you think they are ultimately religious. And so they pray in synagogues or in churches or out in public so that people can see them and hear them. They want to have the focus on them rather than being in prayer directly to the Father. And on the other hand, it says, don't be like the Gentiles because they want to just simply repeat things over and over and over and over again. And by the repetitiveness of their words, they think God will act. Now, that doesn't mean that you say the prayer one time and never say it again. That's not what the scripture is talking about in Matthew chapter 6. It's talking about using a particular series of words that you constantly say over and over again, and by the sheer volume of repetition, you think that God will act. And Jesus says, don't be like them because, verse 8, your Father knows what things you need before you ask Him. So even before you pray, God already knows. He says in verse 9, instead, pray like this, our Father. Now, it starts off with our Father. That has a huge meaning. Our Father. We're approaching the Creator of the universe, the Creator of all things through whom all things are held together, who knows the beginning and the end, who is the beginning, the middle, and the end. He has no beginning and He has no end. He is for all eternity, and He knows everything about all creation, including us. But particularly, we have an intimate relationship with Him. We can call Him our Father. In the Jewish idea here, particularly for Gentiles or for anyone who's even Jewish, we are not biologically related to our Creator. He created us in His image, but we are adopted into His family. That idea of adoption has a very powerful meaning in the Jewish mind and at the time of Jesus, because you could disinherit, and you see this happening, your biological firstborn son. Instead of giving your biological firstborn son all of the inheritance to which he would be entitled, you can bypass that firstborn and go to someone else in that lineage. But unlike a biological child, you've chosen procreation, but you didn't choose that particular child. That's what happened, and that's what you're blessed with. But adoption, which the scriptures talk about us being adopted through Christ, has a stronger meaning than biological relationship in an earthly sense. Because in adoption, you make a public act, a public confession, that you are choosing this particular person to be your son or your daughter. We, as believers through the blood of Jesus Christ, have been adopted into the family of God, and thus the Lord's Prayer allows us, provides us that intimacy to refer to our Creator as our Father. This is a prayer of worship. It's a prayer of intimacy. It says, our Father who are in heaven, let your name be sanctified. Hallowed be your name is the traditional phrase that we use, but it means let your name be precious and sanctified and something special. And your name is not just the name of God, Yahweh, but it is the character of God. It is all-encompassing. So as we are approaching God with that intimacy of being a father, yet his character is so magnificent, and we approach in the awesome understanding and experience of God the Creator, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, our Father. And it says, let your kingdom come, let your will be done as in heaven, so on earth. As God's will is perfect and as it's always done in heaven, our prayers are not from earth to heaven, but from heaven to earth. Our prayers are, as your will is done in all of the universe, let it be done. Let it happen on earth. Let it happen in my life. Let it happen to all the things surrounding me. This is a prayer that you cannot read and understand and assume that you can bifurcate your faith from those things around us in our earthly life. Let your earth also reflect your will as it is done in heaven. As your will is done in heaven, let it also be done in my life. Let it also be done on earth. The essence of the Lord's Prayer is powerful. Read the rest of Matthew chapter 6 because it talks about the application of the Lord's Prayer. It is a model for praying. It is a model for worship. Prayer is a form of worship, and we enter into that worship as this model prayer instructs us that we can approach God, our Creator, whose name is to be sanctified, set apart, very special, honored, hallowed, that we can approach him intimately as our Father. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. All of that Lord's Prayer is a call to intimate relationship with our Father. It's also a call that as God's will is perfect and done in heaven, so let it be done in my life and in everything around me. It's a directive for me and you and for everything in our sphere that we live in the world. It's a call for forgiveness as well. It's a call for sustenance. It's a call for caring as a father and a parent does to their children. It's also a call to deliver us, even in those times of testing, from the evil one. Read the Lord's Prayer in context. And when you pray, pray in that relationship that Jesus ultimately wants us to be in, that relationship with him, with the Heavenly Father. Jesus spent hours and hours and hours in prayer. And we oftentimes neglect it. We do that on kind of the short end of the stick. And prayer can be, no matter what your posture, while you're driving, while you're walking, while you're at home, it can be while you're kneeling, while you're standing, but prayer is that call of a relationship to our Heavenly Father, and it is that recognition of who our Heavenly Father is, of our daily needs and our reliance upon him, and of our prayer to be rescued from those times of testing or temptation. There's not a single temptation or test that we have encountered that God has not given us the power to overcome. Read the Lord's Prayer and press in to the Lord, our Father, who are in heaven. Hallowed be your name. For more information, visit Covenant Journey's website, covenantjourney.org. That's covenantjourney.org.
You've been listening to the Covenant Journey podcast. We hope that we have informed, inspired, and encouraged you to deepen your faith, knowledge, and love for our Lord Jesus as we've explored the Word of God. Visit covenantjourney.org, where you can obtain additional notes and information to enhance your study of the Scriptures. The website again is covenantjourney.org. You can also email us at cj@covenantjourney.org. Share this podcast with your friends. Visit covenantjourney.org.